Here we go. I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep, listen to this, the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. Let me say it again. The sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who understood Jesus, who heard Jesus use this illustration, didn't understand what he meant. So he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely, and they will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. You better pay attention to who you sit under and who you follow, because when the wolves come, the hired hand will get scattered like the coward he is. But the shepherd will stay and fight and give his life for the sheep. You think you're called to be a shepherd, you better be willing to die. And the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock, the hired hand runs away because he's only working for the money. And he doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too, and they are not in this sheepfold, and I must bring them in also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. You may be seated. So, you know, it's been on my heart a lot lately. I've been watching all this stuff. At youth, we watch this thing, and really it would be a good Wednesday night to realize the power, and I'm not going to get political. I promise you I won't get political. No idea. I don't care nothing about that stuff anymore. I really don't. But if you watch these documentaries and you understand what's going on and what social media does, it's a lot of noise. And we watched a documentary at youth, which was pretty powerful because it showed this. There's people behind these computers that look at what you search for and they look at what you like and they pump more of that in you. So if I like the Detroit Lions, and I keep searching, they're going to keep telling me that's the best thing in the world. That's the greatest thing in the world. There's nothing like Detroit Lions. It's Detroit Lions or nothing. The other people are communists. They're all bad. Everything but Detroit Lions. And that's what they're going to pump me full of. It's mind control. And so what it does, it separates people. And there's no middle ground anymore. People go to extremes. You hate me or you love me, and I don't want to do with you. And it pushes people. But what it really is noise. We're at a time where there's more noise coming in our kids and our own minds than ever in history. When I was a kid, and I'm not trying to sound like the old curmudgeon or whatever, but it's true. You know, we could play football or basketball. We could write, draw or something. But we didn't have tablets and phones and TV 24/7. They don't even watch TV anymore. It's like, what's TV to these kids, right? That's just how it was. It's different. We were accustomed, and I was telling T-Dot this, sometimes behind the walls you can get accustomed to noise. But when you're, you know, as for me, I can sit and be quiet. I can just come home in the evening and sit on my porch and be quiet. It's okay. It's okay to me. I mean, not everybody's that way because we got to an era. You know, and I've known people, they travel. First thing you do is go into a hotel room and turn on TV. They don't even watch. It's just noise, right? Because you got to have noise. Some people need that noise. And when I travel, I don't even turn TVs on. I don't even know where the remotes are. I don't know. I don't care. And I'm not saying that's better or worse. I'm just saying we're at a time where there's so much noise coming at us. 24/7 noise. Now, I'm not saying it's all bad noise. You could be listening to your podcast of old Billy Graham sermons, and that's good things, right? Or gospel music or worship music or whatever kind of music. But we're in an era when there's so much noise. There's cell phones. We're always, you can be sitting there talking, and you're texting one person, watching a TV in a restaurant, and talking to somebody. Three different conversations going on at once, if we're lucky. And maybe some background music that's sometimes focusing, getting in there too, right? I mean, it's true. And Val and I, we went on a date one night, and it was this restaurant. It was this one couple had, I think I've said this before, had the best seat in the house. They were right in front of the window in this downtown little beautiful cafe. They were dressed up, and they were sitting there across from each other like they were in a relationship or something. Sparking. They don't know what sparking is. But both of them were on their phones, were they not, just sitting here like this? I don't know what they were doing. But neither one was, what it told me was, that lady must not be worth his time and he must not be worth her time. Because whatever's on that phone is more important than what they're looking at, right? And I'm not saying all these people are bad, we're all bad now. I'm just saying maybe we're all getting used to the noise. And there's so much noise, and there's TV, and there's YouTube, and there's social media, and you don't even have to wait once a week for a TV show. You can watch all the they binge watch now, right? Y'all know what binge watch. You'll just sit down and watch a whole 10 years of a show. It took me 10 years to watch all of the Rockford Files. You shouldn't be able to watch it in a weekend. And don't you get started. There's no TV like Jim Rockford. You ain't saved if you don't like Jim Rockford. Y'all watching y'all's junk now. Jim Rockford was a real man. But noise. And we've got family. We've got friends. We've got social media. We have to be validated. How many likes and how many dislikes? And, oh, they unfriended me. Somebody even put on the internet that this church blocked somebody on the internet, I heard this week. Well, first of all, that's untrue. We don't block anybody. Yeah. I mean, I don't know where they make this stuff up. They just make up stuff, right? And maybe it all starts with a misunderstanding. Maybe somebody thinks it is. And then, nowadays, if you think something, then you're the expert, right? If we Google, I mean, you forget MIT and Harvard. We can just Google something. We're all experts on everything, right? But there's so much noise. And I have to ask this question. In an era where all there is noise, how do we even know anymore who to listen to? How do we know who to listen to? There's a preacher on every channel. There's 30,000 books at Lifeway, and there's not even a Lifeway anymore, but I think you can still get the books. There's messages and songs and words. How do we know who to listen to? I remember talking to the guys in incarcerated. And I remember saying one of the problems, it's great that we have such access at Northeast, but one of the problems they had was they had a different service every night. And it's a good thing in a way, but you got so many voices coming at you. And you have to learn what do I listen to? Because we hear a lot. You hear a lot. You're hearing a lot. You're hearing a lot right now. When Jesus rode into town, there was a lot of voices, as Dad said. There was a church trying to shut him up. There was religious people scared of him. There was Rome who didn't really believe in him. They just didn't want a big political rebellion. They didn't know what was going down. There was disciples wondering what's going to happen. There was people waving, thinking, is he going to free us from Rome? There was all kinds of voices, rumors. Don't you think there were rumors? This guy's going to free us from Rome. This guy's going to do this. This guy's going to do that. There were rumors, and they were excited. There was a lot of noise. There's a lot of things we hear. But what do we listen to? What do you listen to? Because what you listen to will determine your actions, not what you hear. The Bible says something about being a doer, not a hearer, but we're a doer of what we listen to, not what we hear. There's a difference between hearing and listening. T-Dot, you've heard enough gospel that your life could be forever. You could blow away this world. It's about what we listen to and what we do, not what we hear, right? And so in an era where there's all this noise, constantly bombarding, do you know how many waves are going through your body right now? You don't think about it. It just seems magic to me. I pick up a phone. There's a magic voice. Some of you on the internet right now, it's magical. It's a button. No, these are waves coming through the air, bouncing through our body, bouncing around all in our head. What do we listen to? In a church service this size, even a COVID church service like this, you imagine how many voices are going on in this room right now? Some of you are whispering. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not Chris. I'm just saying. But not only those kind of voices. I'm talking about, how about voices in our heads? How about distractions? How about thoughts? How about our phones? I mean, I never had that temptation. I told Val, I said, you know, when I would sneak and sit in the back sometimes, I went to a lot of church, and I thank God. Listen, here's the deal. As long as my kids live in my house, they will be in this house. I don't care. 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 You have no rights. I'm sorry. You have no rights. You have no legal rights. Sorry. You don't. Look it up. You know when you get rights? When you pay your own bills. That's when you get rights. You say, well, I'm worried they're not on fire for Jesus. It comes along a little. It'll come along. Just get them here. I'm a prime example. But we'd sit in the back. I'd sit in the back, and about the best thing I could do, Grant, I bet Grant and Josh have done this in a time or two. I could get a church hymnal and play paper football with myself. I'd get a gum wrapper, make it a little paper football. And but you know what was happening? There were other voices, but voices were coming in. And I was listening to more than I would show. So here's the deal. What are we going to listen to? How do we know the Father's voice? What are we following in this time period when it's a bunch of voices, a bunch of noise, a bunch of sound, music? Oh, they say music is the portal of the soul. I don't know about all that, but there's all this sound. And so the Holy Spirit directed me to an idea. And it really started, and I'm going to read in Genesis 3, but it really started with Jenny, when Jenny got her prognosis. And Holy Spirit really just poured into me nonstop, and I shared with her because she had a lot of voices pouring into her. And not all of them were positive. You know, doctors are kind of like, especially with themselves, they're like warm and fuzzy to you. If you know a doctor, though, and they really know you, or, you know, like a nurse practitioner, doctor, whatever, they're like, you know, oh, you know, you just got a little plague. You'll die tomorrow, but, you know, rub some dirt on it. That's kind of how they are. That's how Jenny kind of is. I mean, she's like, oh, you probably got some cancer there. Just, you know, you might die, you know. But doctors, sometimes they're blunt. And she had noise poured into her. There were sometimes negative words about, you know, you just need to quit work, and this cancer's too bad, and it's this far spread, you know, all this bad stuff, right? And there was a lot of noise. And I don't know if she got on Google. She might not need to. But a lot of us do that. That's the worst thing because there's more noise. You know, I got a little red bump. I look it up on Google. You've got the bubonic plague. I mean, that's, you know, it's true. You know you've done it before. You all have done that before. I'm not the only one. And so these voices were pouring in, and what Holy Spirit told me to tell her nonstop, and I kept repeating it, was this. Any word counter to the word of God, no matter who delivers it, is false. I'm going to say that again. How do we know what to listen to? Any word counter to the word of God in your life, no matter who delivers it, is false. Now, even if the person's not meaning to pour hate or negativity in your life, if the word they pour into your life is counter to the word of God, it's false. And so if she knows, like I know, what the word of God says over her life, then she's just got to learn to tune out the other noise and pay attention to certain noise. You see, we all do that. And we're all good at that. We don't think about it. If you're at a sporting event, let me give you this example. And there's a million noise in there. There's people cheering. There's people spitting. There's people hot popcorn and people talking, having conversations about their week. But you can focus in on the sound that you want to focus in on if you're really into that. You learn to just, in a room of a million sounds, from water dripping to, you learn to tune out sounds you don't need. And you learn to pay attention to the sounds you do need to hear. What if there's something about that in our life? That maybe a lot of this thing is learning what noise to tune out and what voice to listen to. It's a powerful thing. So God directed me to Genesis, way back to Genesis 3. Genesis 3. And I know you all know the story. And no, I don't believe it's a fairy tale analogy or something like that. I believe every bit of this word is true. And I want to read this real quick, just seven verses. It says this: the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. And one day he asked the woman, that's Eve, did God really say, listen to this, what did the serpent say to her? Did God really say? Are you sure you heard that? Are you sure you heard that right? Are you sure you're hearing this from God? Are you sure now? Are you really sure God said that? Are you really sure God said you were going to prosper and be? Are you really sure about that? Because there's a lot of other voices that say other things in our lives. There's a lot of voices in your lives that'll say a lot of things. And it said, are you really sure that God said you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees of the garden? Of course, she said, we may eat the fruit from the trees of the garden. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. And listen to this. She says, God said. She knew what God said. She said, God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. She knew the word of God. She wasn't innocent, naive. She knew. The serpent replied, you won't die. God knows that your eyes will be open, and as soon as you eat it, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And the woman was convinced. She saw the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious. And she wanted the wisdom. She wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of this fruit and ate it. And she gave it to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were open and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. And they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. God had given them a word. He had relationship with them. He had intimacy with them. They were given a level of authority in the garden. They were given a level of connection to God in the garden. The word of God says they knew what it was like to walk with God. Walk. They knew the sound. It later says that Adam knew the sound of God's footsteps. Can you imagine? I mean, when you love somebody, you know somebody, you have somebody in life, you can hear them walking through the house and you know who it is. Can you imagine hearing the sound of God's footsteps? There's my dad. There's God. They were given authority over the garden, over their lives, over their situations. God gave them a word. You can have everything in this garden, but you stay away from that one thing. Not because I hate you, because I love you too much and I don't want you to die from that thing. They knew the word of God. But here's the problem. There were a lot of other voices in the garden. There's a lot of other voices in your life. And there's a thing about which voice do we hear. So one voice that Eve heard in the garden was the voice of who? The serpent, Satan, who used the serpent, right? That was another voice. So God told them this thing, and she knew God's voice, but the serpent told them something else. Satan always wants you to question the word of God. He always wants you to question, just like he did. He said, God didn't really mean that. And so you'll get a word and you hear the word of God, but Satan will get in our head and cause us to question that word. We can't be that way. Maybe that preacher don't know what he's talking about. You don't have to do all that stuff. You don't have to come on Wednesday night. You don't have to praise God. That's for sissies or something. That's for crazy people. I'm too cool for that. I'm too prideful for that. I don't need that. I don't need that in my life. It's about being a good man or a good woman. I don't need all this spiritual stuff. And God will call people in your life who will pour into your life. And you know it. At times you know it. You hear the voice, you know it. We know it. But we get alone. We get those voices questioning in our head. Maybe God really didn't say that. You see, the voice of the serpent and the voice of Satan was another voice in the garden. But John 8:44 says this, Satan is the father of all lies and a liar. Any voice counter to the word of God is a lie. Any word counter to the word of God is a lie. So Satan was a voice in the garden. Her senses was a voice in the garden. What do you mean her senses? The word of God says when she looked at that fruit, she said it was, quote, beautiful. Her eyes said, no, God may have told me don't touch this, but my eyes says touch it. It says it looked delicious. Her senses told her different than the word of God. Many times our senses can be counter to the word of God. The word of God says this, but our life experiences say that. The word of God says this, but our sensations, our experience, what are sensations? What are senses? Feelings, things we see, things we hear, things we can taste, things we can touch. And it can be based on our life experiences, right? I mean, if I've got a dog, you all know my dog, the bear chaser, Samson, who's this big. But one time when he was a pup, his tail whacked over a little wooden duck. True? That dog will chase a bear, but he's scared to this day of this little wooden duck statue. Because his life experiences make his senses perceive that duck as a threat, even though God made that thing to chase bears and chase lions. You are made to chase lions in the pits on snowy days and cut their throats. But our senses can be counter to the word of God. That's another voice in our head. Our senses could be like, my rump hurts. I've been sitting here too long. That preacher's not giving the word of God anymore. He's talking too long. Our senses can tell us lots of things. I'm hungry. Preacher, preach. I need to eat a burger. Eat a bigger breakfast and be a big girl or boy. Proverbs 14:12 says this, there's a way that seems right to a man, but to the end thereof the ways are death. Our senses can be counter to the word of God. How about another voice? Her ambition was counter to the word of God. Her ambition, her dream. You see, God's purpose on this planet is not to make your dream come true. That's wrong God. You can go to some, they're not. You can go rub somebody's belly and get that. Let's see how that works for you too, by the way. But our job or our goal in life is to make God's dreams come true. And that's different. You see, the word of God says, Eve, and this is a quotation from the NLT, it says, she wanted, unquote. She wanted it. God said not to get it, but the voice in her head of ambition said, you want that, Eve. You want that. Well, what if the things you want are good things? Don't matter. Is it a God thing? We can want a lot of good things, but that's not God's plan for our life. I'll tell you this, we can all have callings in our life, but everybody in this book I read about ran from a calling. They never came to Jesus and said, boy, I want this. Woo, God, I want this. Oh, man, I want to be a disciple. I want to be king of Israel. David ran from, in fact, David had Saul bent over and could have killed him, so I don't want that. Oh, no. No, 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 no. Usually, if it's really a God dream, you'll run from it. That's true. I mean, I love you guys, and if you guys come to me and say, oh, that's fine. But 9 times out of 10, if you really have a dream in you, I want to do this, I want to do that, usually that's a selfish ambition. Usually it's not a God dream, because usually you'll run from a God dream. I've never once asked to preach. I used to hate preaching. I don't like it now. I really don't. I want another generation to come up and I want to pour wisdom. That's my dream. But God, until he says otherwise, I got to do what's on my heart. And so if it's a God dream, normally what a person will do, they'll come to a leadership and say, just use me. Let me wash feet. Let me just do the dishes. And then if it is God's plan, then that door will open. But we come to God too many times with our dreams and our ambitions instead of listening to what his voice says in our life. Don't seek grandeur in the kingdom of God. I could give you some more scriptures, but Matthew 23:12 says, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Be a servant, and God's voice will be clear when it's clear. So her ambition was counter to God's voice. Her senses were counter to God's voice. Satan's voice was counter to God's voice. And there's another thing that can be counter to God's voice. Some more noise that gets in our head, and it's called fear. Fear or anxiety can be counter to God's voice. Fear. I know God wants me to do this, but I'm scared. Now, on this one, I'm going to talk just a second about a second garden. Because there was a second Adam and there was a second garden, and he was in the garden the night before he was crucified. And he had to pass a test, and it was God's word versus that fear. He was all man, all God. He faced the same fear you face. He also heard the same voice of God you hear. He had that night to decide. Jesus, by the way, in case he had to decide what voice would he listen to. Because the human fear in us wouldn't say, go take that beating. Especially as Dad said, or Mom maybe earlier, I think. As he walked in, they were mocking him, and they were just, I mean, that's not the kind of person you want to die for. I'll be honest, the human emotion to me, when I see this crazy stuff on Facebook, sometimes it makes me want to just go punch people in the face. That's human. But God's voice doesn't really say that. Although I'm still arguing with him about it sometimes. God's voice really doesn't say that. The human voice in me says, punch them in the face. Jesus, when he saw those people mock him, and he knew they'd be saying, give me Barabbas, and he knew they'd be crucifying him, and he knew they'd scatter. You know there was a human side of him that, one, was scared as he pleaded to God, is there another way? But two, that had to be a little bit let down. Have you ever been let down? My people, hang around me long enough, you're going to get let down. But Jesus didn't listen to the voice of fear that night. He said, your will, not mine, be done. He said, I'll go anyway. I'll go scared. I'll do it scared. He didn't just wear the T-shirt. He just didn't charge when everything was good. But when it was life and death, he says, I'll go anyway. I had somebody, I got to say this. I was pouring into somebody. When you first get it, and you should keep it up. But I mean, you just want to tell everybody you know. We should keep that. And I went to all my old buddies, and I was like, you guys got to come to church with me. You know, and I brought many, and you know, some it was great and all that, somewhat. But one guy got tired of me, and he goes, Heath, I hope he's not listening. I love you. But he said, not everybody can be Jesus. In other words, he was saying, don't get to be so crazy about this stuff. There's only one Jesus. You're meant to go lawyer and go do this and go do that. And only one thing, the word of God says, greater things shall you do. See, fear told him one thing. His life experiences told him one thing. But the word of God said something different. And so Jesus overcame his fear, and he listened to the voice of the Father, and he walked willingly to a cross and said, I'll do it for them. 2 Timothy 1:17 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and a sound mind. So what are we listening to? Who are we? Are we listening to the word of God in our life, or are we listening to the other voices that surround us every day? Voices that may seem benign. They don't all seem bad. You know, back in the 80s, and I know Steve remembers this, everything was like, and there is some of this, I'm not saying there's not, but Steve, you remember when I was in youth and you were over youth, and all, it was all about, man, 666 and the pentagrams and the devil. And the devil has used that over the years, but very little, very little. Because most humans, when they see somebody come at you spitting blood, they're going to be like, I'm good. I'm good. You know, I might take a drink. I might go to a club. I don't want none of that blood spewing on me, right? It's not really the way the devil works most of the time. He comes to us with what looks like benign things. Good things. Good things. Things that don't hurt nobody. Good. It's good to spend time with your family. It's good to do this. It's good to do that. It's good to fish. It's good to do this. But is it counter to the word of God for our life? And that's the question you got to ask. I want to read Genesis, the rest of these three more verses, and we're coming, we're getting there. Almost there. This is really where this has all been a wind up. This is really where I think God, Holy Spirit wants to talk to you. This one word right here coming up. Genesis 3:8. I'm going to read this. This is just after I just read that they sewed the fig leaves together. And the next verse says this. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. They had such intimacy. They heard their daddy walking around at night in the garden. You know, we talk about voices. I still remember so many voices. I dream about my grandparents almost every week. I can hear their voice. I can still see my grandmother waving as I'd pull out of that little house. And I'd look in my rearview mirror, and as far as I'd drive, I could see her. I was so close to those people. They poured so much love into me. I can hear their voice. And many of you can hear voices like that. Some voices are bad voices. Some of you have heard bad voices in your life. You can still hear them. There's all kinds of voices. I remember the sound. My grandmother had a runner up and down the hall when she'd go get me water at night. I mean, I was a spoiled kid, I admit. Because if my kids woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning and says, Dad, will you go get me a drink of water? I'd say, get yourself a drink of water. But my grandmother, and me probably 12 years old, right? I mean, I'm probably a pretty big boy. I remember the sound of her walking that runner, that rubber, in the middle of the night walking to get me a drink of water. I remember the way that water tasted. I remember the cup. There are certain sounds we know and we can't get out of our head. They heard the sound of God's footsteps and they knew them. That is relationship. I don't know about you, but that's how much I want to know God. I'm not satisfied. Oh, we've had a great 3 weeks. Oh, people are getting filled. I know that's awesome. But I don't be satisfied till we hear the sound of the Father walking up and down the aisles, and we know he's here because we hear and we know. I'm not looking for emotions. I want such a relationship that we can hear his footsteps and we say, Daddy's in the house. So they heard. And so they hid from God among the trees. Now, just earlier, they were walking with God. And now they hid from God. And then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He always had known where they were prior to this point. You got to get this. He always knew where they were. But they had separated themselves from his presence to the point where he had to call out, "Where are you?" Has God ever called out to you? "Where are you, Steve?" "Heath, I called you to be in this spot. Where are you?" "You were made to fill a position. Where are you, Keith?" Have we been there? God had to call out to them. He had never been separated from them. They walked together. And their disobedience to his word created a distance to the point where God had to say, "Where are you? This is new. We've been together. Where are you?" And Adam replied, are we Adam? We're an Adam, right? We're a man. "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid." There's people that will hide from you when they grow cold, when they grow distant from God, because they see the God in you. We were in a grocery store one time, and somebody that used to chat my ear off, I just said, "Hi," I promise you. I said, "Hi, hey." And they bit my head off and ran off, but said, "I went on time." And of course, I wasn't really wanting time. I just said, "Hi." And I don't say that to make them feel bad. It wasn't that they hated me. They liked me. They later apologized for that. But they were in a position where they didn't want to be around me because of what I represented. That's the key. They need to hide when you walk in a room. And so Adam said, "I hid." Listen to what he said. "I was afraid because I was naked." Now listen to this. This is the word of God. This is what I want you to get. This is what I want you to get. This is God speaking to man. Who told you that you were naked? The Lord God asked. Who told you were naked? I'm God. I never told you were naked. I told you have authority. You have relationship. You have intimacy. Who told you were less than? Think about that. Adam said, "We're naked." And God said, "Who told you that? Who told you were naked?" You see, what happened was our disobedience created distance. And our distance created misidentity. And our misidentity caused us to take on an identity we were never made to take on. You were never made to be naked. You were made to have holy covering in a relationship with Yeshua, Son of God. You are not less than. You are not naked. And so what man has done in the years and centuries and thousands of years since is we've sought everything we can to cover our nudity. And I'm not talking about modesty and dress. Hallelujah for that sometimes. It's amen for modesty of dress sometimes. But what I'm talking about is spiritual nakedness that we have spent thousands of years. You and I have spent, I've spent half a century trying to cover up nakedness. And God never told me I was naked. He never told me that word. He never told you were less than. He never told you were a nobody. He never told you were a loser. And sometimes there's other voices in our lives that cause us to put on that identity. Satan gets in our head. people in our past get in our head, our life experiences, our senses, our ambition, and it tells you and me that we're naked. And God said, I never told you that, T-Dot. I never told you that. And so we get on these identities, right? Who told you were sick? Did God tell you were sick? Who told you were shy? Did God put that on you? Who told you were depressed? Did God just make you to be depressed? Who told you were anxious? Did God put that on you? Who told you were cursed? Who told you were addicted? Did God say you're addicted from the womb? You're just addicted. I declare you. No! Who told you you're not talented enough? Who told you you're unsuccessful? Who told you you're ugly? Who told you you're less than? Who told you you're not equipped? Who told you these things? Because it's not God. Our distance from the Father has allowed other voices to get in our heads. And we've taken on the nudity we don't have. And so we try to cover with everything we get a hold of. Relationships, men, women, drugs, hobbies, jobs. Oh, the most addicting thing can be a job. Money, oh my goodness. I want more money, 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 money. I mean, we can all these things are ways to cover our nudity. If I just had more money. And those are man dreams, T-Dot. Because I can tell you this, you can make $1 million and you'll still put a needle to your vein unless you know who you are in God. You gotta know that you're not naked. Who told you were naked? Any word counter to God's word is a lie. And so if God hasn't put these labels on you, then you've been mislabeled. Who can label something? Number one, if you create something. If I have a baby, I can name it. Or if I do an invention, I have a legal right to invent that, to name that item. I can name it Apple, iPhone, whatever I want to name it. We talked about this. Second thing is, if you purchase something. If I go purchase a dog, the dog mama might have named it Leroy, and I can name it Rover. I can name anything I want because I purchased it. God created you, and he purchased you. He's the only one that can label you. And anything else is a mislabel, a misrepresentation. God never told you that. God never told you that. God never told you that. And so like I told Jenny, the doctors, well-meaning, want people to make plans. They can put labels on you. Stages and labels, and but if it's counter to the word of God, it's not true. Who told you were a cheater? Listen, that's not to say we don't do some, we've not done some of these things. You've done drugs, that's not saying you haven't done them, but you don't carry that label. As dad says, because you ate a hamburger last night, don't make you a burger. Just because you've done some stuff, that don't mean that's who you are. So as we come into an end, but what are some of the lies that the devil or people in our lives or our circumstances or our life experiences, what are some of the lies that he's poured into you and me? Think about that for a second. What are some of the lies that you've been told in your own head that you've come to accept that that's how things are? Maybe one of them is this. Maybe the devil has told you you're not good enough. You're less than. I mean, Pastor R, he's got it together. He's polished. He's lived such a life of service, and he's so loved and beloved. And that's true. I can give that witness. I don't think you are. I think the light in you makes some people jealous, but I don't think you're hated. I'm not supposed to disobey him, am I? Oh, whoops. Forgive me, Lord. But the lie is sometimes the devil can tell us is you're less than. But what does the Word of God say? Deuteronomy 28, 13, you're the head and not the tail. So for somebody in this room, if the devil's told you you're less than, you need to write down that Word of God over your life. How about this? Has the Word of God, I mean, has a lie, has anybody ever got in your head? Maybe somebody in your past? Maybe, you know, back when we were in school, I think they're worse than that back then, I think. I don't know. Maybe just, they put people in labels in school. I mean, they put some people in when I was in school, in a special class, they said, this is a gifted and talented class. I don't know if anybody remembers that. Can you imagine telling every other kid in that grade, well, you're not the gifted and talented one, that one is. Isn't that true? I mean, that's true. They had gifted and talented groups. And so what do you tell all the other kids? Sorry, little Susie, you're not gifted or talented. Just maybe you can exist somehow. And it's terrible, isn't it? But that's a lie or a misidentity the devil can put on people. But God doesn't say that. You know what God says? Romans 8:37. You're more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. You're not a loser. You're a winner. And that's what God's word says. How about this lie? Sometimes our past, the way we're conceived or just our upbringing makes us think. You ever been told this? You're an accident. Has the devil ever told you you're an accident? You're just an accident. You know what God's word says about that? Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you, and I set you apart as a prophet. Before you were formed, I don't care what the circumstances that led to your conception. I don't care how crazy that was. God knew what was going to happen, and he had a plan for you, and he had a destiny for you. You ever heard this word? You ever heard a lie in your head that says this? Something bad's going to happen. I've heard people say that. I get this ominous that the shoe's ready to drop, that something, a calamity's going to happen, that if I get doing good, I know, ooh, I'm getting scared because I know something bad's about to happen. Anybody ever had that word spoken in your mind, it comes in your mind? Yeah. I mean, you know it's a lie, but you've heard that, right? Some of you heard that. You know what the Word of God says, though? It don't say that. It's funny. It's like all these lies, the Word of God just seems to say the opposite. It's so cool, isn't it? The Word of God says this, Psalm 91:7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 by your right hand, but it shall not come nigh your dwelling. It won't touch you. They can die all around you. It ain't going to touch you. You know what? Here's the situation. If you're on God's hands, the devil can't take you. When God wants you to go home, he'll call you home. And that's going to happen. It's going to happen to all of us. I got work news for you. Don't mourn when I go to heaven, because the devil won't take me out. If God takes me out, let's have a party. But the devil ain't going to take me out because I'm his. I'm Jesus's. And as long as that goes, the devil can't take you out. You can take yourself out, but he can't take you out. God can take you home, but the devil can't take you out. Here's a lie. How about this? You've heard this? I've heard this a lot. I can't stop. I can't stop the drugs. I can't stop the sin. I want to, Pastor, but I can't stop. Who told you that? Did God tell you that? Does God's word say you can't stop sinning? That once you get a certain problem, you just can't stop? Is that the word of God? It could be the word of man. It could be the word of the devil. But Word of God says something a little bit different. It says 1 John 4:4-5, we have overcome the world through Jesus. Not we might overcome the world. We have overcome. Does that mean it's going to be easy? No. It's hard sometimes not to eat 10 hamburgers a day too, but you just got to do it. Sometimes you got to be a big boy and put on your big boy britches. I used to say put on your big girl panties, and Mama didn't like that, so I started saying, so I'm not going to say put on your big girl panties in the pulpit. I didn't say it, Mama. I didn't say it. How about this lie? Has the devil ever told you you're weak? you're weak. God's word don't call you weak. God's word says, John 14:12, even greater works than Jesus shall you do. So if we're walking around in these lies on our head, if we were in youth, we could do these cool activities, which would be really big, it's cool. You can put labels on yourself and how the world labels you versus how God labels you. But if we're walking around with these labels on us, it's our choosing and it's counter to the word of God. And so we've got to understand in a time when there's all kinds of voices telling us all kinds of things, we got to understand, what are we going to listen to? The word or all these other voices over our lives? And that's really what the key to this time period is. The devil's not dumb, and he knows this thing's winding down. And I don't have some big dream, because that'd be counter to the word of God, that on this date, such and such date, such and such time, this is going to happen, all this stuff. I don't know, but I know this, it's cranking down. And the devil knows that, and so what he wants to do is he wants to crank up the noise, because he don't want you to hear. If you've ever been a parent and you've wanted to say something private, and there's a radio or a TV, you crank it up because you don't want it heard. There's an enemy that doesn't want the word of God heard over your life. He don't want you to listen to this. And so he's going to crank up all the noise so that you can't construe out, you can't separate out what to listen to. You got too much noise in our heads. And God is saying, listen, stop all that and listen to what I'm saying. I got to say this, and we are to a close, and one of Mike's older men of faith, legends of the faith, told a story about how he woke up at night, and I don't know if it was a vision or a dream. I don't remember how he said it. I don't know if he said it really happened or it was a dream. I don't know, but okay. And he said he woke up at night, and he said he saw Jesus by the bed. And he said, and I may get it a little bit wrong, but I'll get enough of it that it counts. And he said he saw Jesus. He was so excited. Jesus, what word do you have for me? Jesus. We all want a word from Jesus. We hear a word every Sunday from Jesus. I mean, everybody wants a word, and I'm not against that. There is a gift of knowledge. We know those gifts. But you get poured the word every week, every Sunday, every Wednesday. So I need discipleship. Well, we all need discipleship. I need counseling. We all need counseling. But I'm not T.G. Jakes. So this might make some people mad. I hope it doesn't. Receive this in love. T.G. Jakes said this. He said, people come to me and want counseling. I said, well, you come on Sunday? No. Then I ain't giving you my... If you don't come get the main course, I ain't giving you the appetizer. I mean, if you want to come on Wednesday and Sunday, then I'll spend a little more time giving you a little more. You come on to all the services, then we'll talk about the rest of it. But God, the whole point is God gives us words. And so he said he wanted a word from Jesus. He said, the devil appeared. Then the devil appears. Satan appeared at the end of the bed. He said, whoa. And so he said, Jesus started speaking kind of softly. And the devil just started talking louder and louder. Bah, 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 don't listen, don't listen, don't listen. Nah, la, 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 just making noise. And he said he was confused. He's like, Jesus, you're powerful. The devil should have no right to talk over you. How is the devil talking over you? And he said he kept on and kept on. He finally got mad. Jesus, do something. Shut him up. I want to hear from you. And he said, Jesus looked at him and said, I've already done all I came to do. You shut him up. He has given us the power and authority to tune out the noise of the dark one and listen to the voice of the word of God and proclaim it to the people who can't discern the difference. There's people out there, they don't know the difference. They don't know the voice of the shepherd. And we've got to proclaim the good news and let them know what voice to listen to. Because there's people out there They've not heard this word you've heard today. And they really think they're a loser. And they really think they're less than. And they really think they're weak. And those of us that have the word of God deposited in us, we need to go into every convenience store, every gas station, every place of employment, every school hallway, and every church building, every prison, every religious, I don't care, every place we go. And we need to let them know what the word of God says over their lives. I'll say this. If you find yourself in a situation in your life where you're not advancing and you're not reproducing, and you keep struggling with the same issues, and I don't see this in judgment. We've all been there. Some of us in the room are there now. Some of us have been there. And maybe you will be there one day. I hope not, and I pray not. But if you do, I want you to remember this word. When we find ourselves living a life that is consistently less than what this word promised us, let me say it again. If you find yourself living a life that is less than what this book says it should be, then we need to look at ourselves and ask a question. What voices have we been listening to? In a world of sound, bombardment of sound and noise, when we find ourselves not producing, we must ask the question, what are we listening to? Because we do not what we hear, we do what we listen to. We hear lots of things, but you'll do what you listen to. And so you have to ask yourself in those times, what are you surrounding yourself with? If you're, and I'm not, look, I used to hate that old denominational preaching about, I loved a lot of the denominational preaching. He looked at me like I was the preacher. No, I mean, I loved a lot of it. But I didn't like a lot of it when I was a kid, a lot of the, you know, anti-culture, anti-rock, anti-rock and roll, anti-music. A lot of that stuff I thought was so silly when I was a kid, and some of it might have been a little silly. But I will say this. When you surround yourself with secular stuff, I don't care if it's fights or ball or workouts or shopping. I mean, there's nothing wrong with some of that. I'm about it. I watched the ball game last night. I don't want to be hypocritical. But if that's the only noise you surround yourself with, okay, it's what you, then what are you listening to? What's coming in your head? If you're around fights all the time, you're around arguments all the time, if you're around people that do drugs all the time, if you're around people that are depressed all the time, if you're around people anxious all the time, I have a problem. You know, I remember being a kid, you'd have secular friends and church friends. I only got one friend. I mean, I don't have that kind of relationship. You got to be one way. You got to be one way. You can't have two lives. And if you surround yourself with one group on one day and one group, you're going to be a split person. You're going to be a bipolar personality, up and down, anxious and good. And you got to start. I'm not being critical. I'm saying we got to understand the cause and effect of this. The cause and effect is what kind of voices and noises are we surrounding ourselves with? If you're surrounding yourself with critical people, garbage in, garbage out. I got to say this, and I'm done, but Jake... When Jake was a kid, a little kid, I know he's a kid now, but he's a little boy. I said something one time. I was with him, and just me and him, and I said something like, "Oh, crap." And he looked at me, because I don't really talk that way normally. And I'm not trying to act all religious. I mean, I'm not saying you'll go to hell if you say that. You won't. But it wasn't a good example to my son, I didn't think. And he looked at me, he goes, and this is not a criticism of the people he's talking about, because it really, I was probably the bad apple, but it shows you how his little mind worked. He said, "Dad," he looked at me, he goes, "You've been hanging around your softball coaching buddies again, haven't you?" Now, I was probably the bad influence in those people, so if they're watching this broadcast, I'm not criticizing you. But the point is this, even my little son recognized that the people I choose to be around, that comes in my ear, determine what comes out of my mouth. You want to run with lions, PJ? Hang out with lions. Don't talk about it. Do it, right? Right? Don't talk about it. You want to hang with, you want to be a world changer? Hang with world changers. You want to be a positive person? Hang with positive people. You want to be anxious? Hang with anxious people. You want to be depressed? Hang with depressed people. Do what you choose to do, but understand it will affect what comes out of us. So I challenge you this. If we're living a life that's less than, you know, I'm not saying, do you know Jesus? Because I'd say, I may be wrong, but I'd say most people in this room know Jesus. Most people probably call themselves a Christian, whether we follow him or not. But if your life is less than what this word of God would say you would be about, if your life isn't the greater things, if you're not seeing healings around you, and I'm not saying there won't be times, I'm an example. They made me go to church. I didn't have a choice. Thank God they did. But it took a lot of years for this to come about. And so if you got kids that they're not on board 100%, it's okay. Love them. Make their butt be in church, no matter what, but love them. But it takes time. That doesn't mean they weren't living their life out in front of us, because it took me 20. I had to come up with my own decisions. I had to be my own man at times, right? I don't blame other people. I am the woman to blame. It's my fault. I don't blame anybody for anything in my life. I'm a big boy. I did it. I don't blame. I don't have anybody to blame or scapegoat. And it's amazing how our lives change when we get rid of the scapegoats. But I will say this: if you find yourself in an unproductive life, then what the Holy Spirit's question is challenging us to do today is to pay attention to who we're listening to and what voices we're listening to in our lives. It don't have to be devil. That backwards music, Josh. Devil. You've heard it, Josh. You're an 80s kid. But what I'm saying is, it doesn't have to be that kind of thing. If it's negativity, and if it's against less than the Word of God, if it just beats you down, if it just makes you feel less than God. So here's what I'm going to do. We're done. Thank you guys for being patient. I know we've been a little slow today, but you owed us from last week. We got out early last week. I know, but some of you watched that boy on that Titanic paint that naked girl for 4 hours. And I just soon take that hammer to my head as watch that movie. I don't know about you all. Y'all watch that for 4 hours, and the Word of God preaches for 45. Well, it's been an hour. So how about we be quiet for just a minute? In a world full of noise, what if everybody in this room, for just 1 second, I'm not going to come back and whip you, but out of reverence, what if nobody talks for just a minute? And what if nobody looks at their phone for just a moment? If you just bow your head with me. You see, there's no outward noise right now. But there's stuff in our heads. See, there's always stuff in our heads. And the question I have for you is, whose voice do we listen to? I'm challenging you right now to pray with me right now and say, remove distractive voices, God. Let me hear from you. Just you. Right now, I'm going to give you my mind, my spirit, and I want to hear what you have for me. I've told you what the Word of God said today and what Holy Spirit did the best I could to tell you. But in this moment, I'm praying that God right now deposits in you the word he has for you. I hope he's challenged you. I hope he's challenged me. Not beat you up too bad. Maybe a little correcting. But I want to know, do you want to follow his voice? If he's speaking to you, anything. And I don't want to put pressure on you. If you don't feel it, that's fine. Feel's a bad word. But if you can't hear anything, that's okay. But if you can hear his voice calling you into something more right now, if he's challenging you, if he's telling you anything, would you be bold enough to raise your hand and acknowledge that you hear his voice? The word says that we can hear his voice if we listen. Now, that doesn't mean he's always going to come down and like a Monty Python movie and just start talking. He might. But there's a still small voice in your heart. It's calling you into more. I know that. I believe that. And I think what he's challenged me and hopefully you to do is to try to drown out all those other voices of distraction. We can't do it completely. We can't do it all the time. But we got to know who we follow. So here's what I'm going to do. The Word of God said, I read earlier from John 10, if they know my voice, they'll follow me. If God's challenging you to follow him, to drown out all those other voices that attack you, then I'm going to ask you to come forward. To come forward right now and just bow and hear his voice. Sometimes we ask all the time and we don't listen. In fact, I've never done an altar call like this. So I'm gonna just sit here a minute, and I'm going to hush talking. And if you're responding to his voice, then come on forward. While those are praying, is there anybody in the room that's not following Jesus right now, don't know Jesus, doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus? If you want to raise your hand, I won't embarrass you, but I'll pray for you. Is there anybody that would raise their hand and say, pray for me, Heath, I don't know Jesus. I know who he is, but I'm not in communion with him. I don't pray to him. I don't talk to him. I'm not following him. He's not the focus of my daily life. Is there anybody that would like me to pray for you without coming back, without embarrassing you? Is there anybody out there that wants that prayer? I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Anybody else? Online, the same thing. If you're out there, I'll pray for you as well. Last time I want to ask, is there anybody else that says, like, maybe you once knew, maybe you once were in the game a little more and you just, other voices have taken over. You want to get back in there. Is there anybody else before I pray? I see your hand. God honors each hand. God honors each hand. You're important. Remember what the Word of God says. You're important to him. You're important enough right now that you're feeling this conviction or this feeling inside. That means that God's loving you and he's wooing you. That means you matter to God. That he's drawing you. That's so awesome. So I'm going to pray over those people right now. And if you're back there and you're free to keep listening to God or you can pray with me, Father, I thank you for those hands that said they wanted to recommit to Jesus or get into relationship with him. Lord, I thank you that you love them enough to draw them and draw us, and you love us, that we matter to you. And so, Lord, right now, I just pray, Lord, that you strengthen them, that you let them hear your voice of who you called them to be, that you died for them, that you created them, that you love them, and you have amazing purpose. You don't want to make them feel bad. You want to make them feel good. And I thank you for that. So if I prayed for you just now, you can just whisper this. You don't have to proclaim it to the rooftops. You can if you want to. But just say this prayer after me. Jesus, forgive me for my mistakes. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you. I want to follow you. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. And thank you for saving me. I believe your blood's enough for my mistakes. I'll make you my King and my Lord and do my best to follow you. Thank you for saving me today. Amen. Is there anybody that you don't have to? I told you.